to worship you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've come to worship Him. Amen. So honored to be here with you tonight and be your friend and be with you in this journey. But I'm most grateful that He's here, aren't you? If He's your friend, anybody can be your friend. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Blessed be His name. I got a little clip that I want to play if I can. It's assuming that it showed up here. It's a prayer. Brother Brown prayed at the end of a message in 1954, and just a short little thing, but it just moved me so much I wanted to share it with you. Well, let's see here. So, thank you. But before I do, I guess I got to find out where my volume switch is. There it is.
Lord, let us be today.
All right. It's thinking.
Today, the light givers of this age, that when the great drama is set at the end of the road, and each one of us comes up before you, and the great screen is pulled out, and our lives of this generation is brought back before us, God, let me hear my voice screaming against unrighteousness and calling to people to believe on Jesus, thy Son. Bless the people here tonight. There's some intense heat. And I pray, God, that you will give them a special blessing. May the soothing powers of the Holy Spirit take away all the thoughts of this. And Lord, sanctify thy servant just now for the service coming on. Standing here realizing that eyes will be turned this way. And I pray, Father, the humility that you will let your great, glorious power be known to everyone. And if thy unworthy servant has found grace in thy sight for tonight, may you take this unworthy person, move the being out, and come in, Lord Jesus, and speak to your people. And when life is all over here on earth, the last prayer has been prayed, the battles are all done, smoke's dried up, gone away, arms are stacked, the Bible's closed, and we come up to your house. That great morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, as the poet said. Lord, as we see that great table stretched out there for that supper, thousands of miles long, looking across the table at each other, battle-scarred veterans, tears of joy running down our cheeks, the king come out in his beauty, holiness, walk down along the table and take his own hands and wipe the tears from their eyes, saying, don't cry no more, it's all over. Enter into the joys of the Lord. The toils of the road will seem nothing then, Father, when we get to the end of the way. And help us tonight, Lord, to forgetting those things which are in the past. Let us press the mark of the high calling now. And may your Spirit come and manifest your Son, Jesus Christ, to these people, as I have tried as a mortal to tell them of you being the same yesterday, today, and forever. For we ask that in Jesus' name, thy beloved child. Amen.
We're not following the cunningly devised thoughts and fables and ideas of man. this message is Jesus Christ. And it was brought in such humility. And it's just a little reminder to us that that's a key. You know, if we can just humble ourselves, His presence will be made known amongst us. Can you turn that amplifier off? I think it's that one over there that's talking to me over here. And down there. No, the one against the wall, I'm guessing. It is? Okay. It's one of those things that talks to you when it's still, when it's off. That did it. Yeah, it helped. Praise the Lord. The body work, part 11. If you'd stand, we'd like to read from Exodus 32, verses 31 through 35. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and I have made them gods of gold. And yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin," aren't you thankful for an intercessor? We see that Moses got angry earlier on, and we know that his anger was Moses. And we know that that anger kept him out of the promised land. It didn't make him not elect. It didn't keep him out of the book, but he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land with the people because of that. And yet this man is interceding on behalf of the people. "If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. May the Lord add His blessing in the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together in the evening time once again, we're gathered for our evening meal. And Lord, we know that You do all things well. So Father, we pray that You would heal any sick amongst us, that You would encourage any that are discouraged, Lord, that You would deliver those that need deliverance, Father. Save any that need saving. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Father, make Your presence known once again in our midst as You break the bread of life, as Your presence is amongst us once again. Father, there are many needs in the body, and we ask for these needs, Lord. There's suffering that's taking place in the body, Lord. There's hurts. And Father, we just ask that Your spiritual healing would come as well. Father, that Your deliverance would come, that, Lord, set those free that need to be set free. Restore those that need to be restored. And Father, we just want to tell You once again how much we love You. Lord, that we want to be right in Your presence. So forgive us, Lord, of anything that we haven't confessed, that we might walk with You along the way. Grant it tonight, Lord. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So, in our text here tonight, as we touched on this morning, God says, "I'm going to replace My presence among you, My presence among the people, by a created angel." Now, it'd be wonderful to have an angel sent to us from the presence of the Lord, and be wonderful to, when angels come, there are blessings that come. We all love the blessings of the Lord. But Moses, to this point, had only known His presence. And His presence is being withdrawn from the people. And Moses is not a selfish man. You know, we see his flare-ups of anger by the first birth, and you know, there isn't a second birth yet. So we see what was handed to him by through the human grab bag as a result of sin. And we all have these things as a result of the fall. But yet Moses was an intercessor on behalf of the people. So Moses had only known the presence of the Lord, and now a lesser being is going to be sent according to the Lord. Israel will still be known as the elect of God and the children of God, and they're still going to journey to the same promised land, and they still have the same divine promises when they get there, but because of their unbelief, his presence is no longer going to be with them. Instead, he's going to send his angel to go with them. Exodus 32, 34. And therefore now go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And of course, that word angel, as we told you this morning, is from the Hebrew word malak, which it's used here. It's already used in Exodus 14, 19, 23, verses 20 through 23. And it's in application to the revealing angel. So the Lord is talking to Moses, and once again, this whole drama that we're seeing unfold and the conversations that Moses is having with God, it's bringing God down to a human level. It's bringing God down to a level, and the speech is speech in such a way that we as human beings can relate and can, but, you know, the conversations, you know, God's not repenting of anything. God has nothing to repent of. And Moses isn't changing God's mind about things. But the conversations that are taking place, it's showing us what the work of, when God condescends, what the work of an intercessor actually is. And how God has many attributes. And all of his attributes are wonderful. And as we've said before, God is he's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And sin cannot be tolerated. Sin must be judged. And so there's this part of God that is going to bring vengeance, that's going to maintain purity, that's going to wipe out sin. But then there's also the part of God that's a savior and a healer and a deliverer and all these other marvelous attributes. And so we're seeing these things being played out in conversations between God's prophet and between God, but we don't want to get in our minds that we're talking about more than one God or a God that's this way and another God that's that way. This is how God is expressing himself, as we'll see more here in a few moments. So the Lord is telling Moses, you know, I just can't be among you when the people are doing these things, and for them to do it again, I'll wipe them out. So my presence isn't going to be among you. I'm going to instead send a lesser angel as my representative to go with you. Exodus 33 verse 2. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. So what he's saying is, this is for your own good, lest I consume you. You're my people, but because of, you know, you've sinned a great sin, and lest you do this again, and I wipe you out, I'm not going to go in the midst of you. Now, we know that there's a difference between the blessing of God being with the people and the presence of God being with the people. The blessings of God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The blessings of God are around the globe tonight. The blessings of God are with anyone that will take him at his word. that'll believe His Word, even just a portion of it, the blessings of God are there. And the blessings of God are wonderful, and we love it. But the presence of God is something else. And the presence of God is only with the elect of God. I know that sounds flat, but it's the truth. His presence today is only with His elect. But His blessing can be with anyone that takes Him at His word. So in verse 3, it sounds like, as we're reading this, it sounds like nothing will turn this around. But let's go on. Exodus 33, verse 13. This is Moses playing the part of the intercessor once again. Moses says, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people." Moses doesn't want to go if God isn't going to go with them. That's all Moses has known. God has been directing and guiding every step of the way. And God knows the way. And now He says, "I'm going to send a lesser angel." And Moses is wondering, well, does he know the way? "Show me your way, Lord. All I've known is your presence." What a position that this prophet walked in. What a position that he was called to. And he's saying, "I don't even want to go myself if you're not going to go with me." Please, God. He's pleading with them. He's playing the part of an intercessor. So what we're actually seeing, friends, is we're seeing God as a judge, as a righteous judge. And we're seeing that part must be appeased. But we're seeing also God as an intercessor. And Christ is anointing, the theophanic Christ, the presence of God, is anointing Moses. And this is being played out, but it's all God that's being played out. And so he says, "Please, God." He's pleading with them. "If you aren't going to go, I don't want to go. All I've known is your presence. So if you're not going to go, then show me your way." "Please, God, consider the nation. May I remind you, these are your people. Called by your name." Verse 14. Listen to this now. God says, "My presence shall go with thee. And I will give thee rest." Now this is shouting material for Moses. But it's not enough. Because notice, he didn't say, "I will go with the people." He said, "I'll go with you." And that's, Moses isn't content. "Well, I got the Holy Ghost. You know, too bad about the rest of you." Moses wants the people to have the presence. God said, "I will send a lesser being to go with you." And Moses mediates. And he says, "Please, God. Please, go with us." And the Lord says, "Okay, Moses, I'll be with you." So what we're seeing in these conversations, now, Moses knew where he stood with God. And Moses talked with him lip to ear. How many people do we know that have done that? And yet, there's something greater than just Moses, even though Moses might even think that it's him. Just as we think that it's us when we get anointed sometimes. But the Spirit of Christ is being made manifest in this. Exodus 32, verse 34. "Therefore now, go, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people, because they made the calf which Aaron made." So this is what caused God to say, "I'm not going with you." But Moses said, "What good are all these things without the Holy Ghost? What good are all the blessings of God without the Holy Ghost? What good is church without the Holy Ghost? What good is a great building and musical instruments and talent and the blessings of God, orderly families? What good is all of that without His presence? We're not just satisfied with church. We want His presence. If we could put it in our terminology, if we could enter into the same channel that Moses was in, we'd say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Right now.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. If you're not going with us, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stop right here. I appreciate you sending your angels, and I appreciate all these things, but I've been in your presence. And now I'm not going to be led by some lesser being. I want to walk with you. I do want your blessings, but I don't want just your blessings. I don't want just healings and prosperity and all these different things. I want you, Lord. I don't want just the things that you give. I want you. You know, that's how it is with our loved ones. When a family member, let's say a father, has to go away on business, or maybe he's in the service and he has to go away at war or whatever, and in his absence he'll send gifts and he'll write letters and he'll say, you know, I've made sure that things are in place for you while I'm gone, and so and so's in charge, and I've got this one to look over you and that one, and he sends gifts and sends nice words, and that's wonderful. We appreciate that. But do you want those things, or do you want Him? You want His presence. You appreciate and love the things that He's sending, because it's showing His love to you. But what you love is Him. You don't love the things, you love Him. You appreciate His love gifts, but you want the giver. Exodus 33, verse 5. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Consume thee. I'm going to wipe you out. Therefore now, put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Isn't this something, how it's so personified by Moses, and it's like God is thinking this through, and you know, it's like how we deal with our children. You know, go stand there in the corner until I figure out what to do. Right? Anybody ever, don't look at me strange. Anybody ever have to go stand in the corner? I remember one time I did something and as a kid, and I think my mom slapped me. It was very rare that she would slap me, but I must have pushed her button. And, you know, we know that mom's a softy, and we know that we can push and push and push, but there's a limit. And something is down inside of us that we want to find just how close we can get to that edge and still not get in trouble. And sometimes we would cross the line. So, you know, I did something, and she slapped me, which was something that was very rare that she did, and then told me to go stand in the corner. Well, my nose was bleeding a little bit. She slapped me, and it caused my nose to bleed. And I thought, well, I'll show her. So I went and stood in the corner and just let the blood run all over my shirt, and, you know. And then when she told me I could come out of the corner, boy, was she upset. What's that all over your shirt, blood? Well, why didn't you say something? You know. It showed that even after I was being disciplined, I wasn't repentant. Sometimes your parents will say, oh, just give me a moment, you know. Well, maybe they won't use those words, but... And this is what's being personified here. God tells them, you're a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Now, therefore, put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. So God wants the clothing to reflect where they are. So lawbreakers they dress in very plain clothes. And God is making it sound as if He wants them to dress in prison clothes while He figures out what He's going to do with them. You know, take off your jewelry, take off your ornaments, take off all this. Just, you know, put on your prison garb, sit down till I figure out what to do here. And here is Moses as an intercessor. And that's why it's personified in this way. So that the Spirit of Christ anointing Moses can play out this other part. But it's all God. And God is so much greater than humanity. But he's so great that He can condescend to a level to allow us to have some understanding of Him. And I just think that's so wonderful. Verse 6, and the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. They knew they were in trouble. They knew that they were standing in a corner. But unlike me, they weren't standing there as martyrs. They figured that they're just lucky to be alive. Verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle. Now, this isn't the tabernacle that was in the wilderness because it hadn't been built yet. But it's the tent that Moses, that God would meet Moses in. And Moses would mediate for the people and look for wisdom and what have you. And the Lord would meet Moses in this particular place. Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. He was calling it that by faith. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. So now His presence is outside of the camp. So this is the place where God had met with Moses before, time and time again. It's not the tabernacle in the wilderness, but it's the place where His presence would come among the people. His theophanic presence. So taking it outside the camp, it's a type of God riding Ichabod over the church and His presence coming out from amongst the people, right? And then He says, come out from among her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. And Moses, by faith, calls it the tabernacle of the people. Verse 8, and it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up. They know they're in trouble. They know that they dodged a bullet. And they know that Moses is standing in the gap. All the people rose up. They're showing respect towards God's servant. They're showing respect towards God. And they're trembling about what might yet come. All the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Think about it, friends. The law had been broken. The people had sinned. And the Lord's presence was taken from them and was now outside the camp. It's a sign of divorcement. It's a sign of the Lord saying, I'm putting you away. And the people rose up. They're very serious. And they're recognizing Moses as their representative now. He's their intercessor. No, I'm not talking to you, Siri. I need to figure out how to turn that off. He's their intercessor. And Moses wants them saved. The Spirit of Christ working through him is not willing that any should be lost. But somebody has to be an intercessor. Do you see this? Verse 9. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. How'd you like to criticize this guy? Who else talked with the Lord like this? And then the people want to criticize a cloud? The cloud didn't come down on you. came down on him. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It was the tender hand of Jehovah that sent us a go-between. So that cloudy pillar descended to where Moses was and talked to Moses outside the camp. Where do you find Christ today? Outside the camp. So God was identified with his messenger outside the camp. What happened today? God sent his messenger. His messenger was within the camp, but the camp threw him out. Amen. And so when he was put outside the camp, the pillar of fire moved out with him. And the people saw this. And they knew that this pillar of cloud, they knew it wasn't at their door, but it was at Moses' door. Verse 10. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. Can you imagine that? And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. This sounds like a people that have repented. Sounds like a people that knew their position of their messenger. There had been all this grumbling and different things that had taken place, but this is a people that recognize what's taking place amongst them. And friends, it's a sign, it's a type, it's a shadow of the pillar of fire returning in our day and allowing and having his picture taken with his messenger. Showing us that his presence was with us again in the evening time. But there's a difference now. Because that same pillar of fire that showed up and allowed Brother Branham to have his picture taken with him, that same pillar of fire is now in the tabernacle of the congregation once again. The Holy Spirit is no longer overshadowing the messenger. And no, the messenger is not pastoring us from beyond the curtain of time. And no, I did not just blaspheme. God didn't put everything into Brother Branham. The Holy Spirit is now dwelling in a people once again. In the congregation, the tabernacle of the congregation. So the people at this point in time, they were now filled with respect for God's servant. And they worshiped not God's servant, but the God that was visibly with his servant. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So you see the attitude of the people towards God's servants, and you see the attitude of the people towards God. And vice versa. You see the attitude of God's true servants towards the people, and you see God's attitude towards the people. Verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Wow. Wow. How many people does the Bible record that the Lord spoke to face to face? Do you realize how rare this is? And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. You see why Moses was so tore up? His friend had told him, I'm not going to be with you. I'm sending a substitute. As a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Now, I don't know about you, but the Lord doesn't speak to me in the way that he spoke to Moses. He doesn't visibly appear before me and speak to me as he did to Moses. As he later does to Paul, as he does to Brother Branham, But he is my friend. He is my comforter. He is my provider. His presence is with me. But God talked to this man face to face. Numbers 12, verse 6. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." The Lord deals with me in dreams. I've had some visions, but he says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." He said, "I'm not just going to speak to him in dreams and visions. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Wow. God is saying, "Look, this is my buddy. This is my friend. I'm not holding things back from him. I'm talking to him as a friend would to a friend, and I sent him to you. And now you're speaking against him. But don't you know he's my friend?" One of these days that's going to break on us, who the bride really is, and what it means to God when she's mistreated. And it'll cause you to intercede, not cause you to want to see anybody destroyed or wiped out. It'll cause just the opposite. It'll cause you to say, "Oh, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. They didn't mean it." So God follows this pattern with his prophets after Moses. God says, "This is my friend. And you aren't afraid to speak to my friend that way?" Imagine how Jesus feels tonight. "That's my bride. Look at how you treat my bride." Verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. "And Moses said unto the Lord, See thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. And thou hast also found grace in my sight." So he's saying, "Lord, if I've found grace in your sight," that's what you said. "If I've found grace in your sight, I've talked with you. You've spoken directly to me. And yet, you're going to replace your presence with me with your angel. How can I go without you, Lord? Lord, it was you that was with me in the burning bush. It was you that was with me at Mount Horeb. It was you that was with me at the Red Sea. It was you that was with me when I spoke to Pharaoh." And God is moved by all of this. And God is moved by all of this. What you're seeing played out is our intercessor. What you're seeing played out is how Christ is interceding for you and I. Verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee." Now, he already knows him, right? But he wants to know him more. And friends, that's true for anybody that knows him. Amen. To know him is to love him. And to know him is to want to know him more. There's something in you that wants more and more and more and more. And that's good. That's all right. It's a good thing. There are some people that you get to know that you want to know less and less and less. But God is not one of those. There's no buyer's remorse. There's no regrets. There's no, "Well, I thought." If I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is your people. Amen. Reminding God. And once again, it's not that God doesn't know this. It's not that God is being swayed. But this is being personified in such a way that and dramatized, showing us the work of the intercessor. And we needed an intercessor. Because the justice of God requires that sin be judged. So Moses says, show me thy way. And he's quoting God's word back to him. Lord, you said, and these are your people. And friends, God loves it when we take our promises that he's given to him and we turn our promises into prayers.
Yes.
God loves that.
Amen.
And you know what? It actually does you good.
Amen.
Because the word is coming out of your mouth and it's coming back in your ear. You're actually preaching to yourself.
Yes.
Building your own faith. Faith comes by hearing.
Amen.
Hearing by the word of God. And you're preaching the word to yourself.
Yes.
Lord, I'm not their guide. You are. Remember, you said you'd go with me. You said you'd go before me. Does this angel know your way? It's your people, Lord. You're not going to abandon them, are you? Now, Moses knew more about God than anyone. You say, how could you say that? The first five books of the Bible were written by him. And yet he wanted to know him more. Out of every age, I'm looking at a people that know more about God than in any other age.
Amen.
Are you content? Or do you want to know more? He's going to reveal himself to us throughout eternity.
Right.
So Moses knows that there's more to see. This is actually the Spirit of Christ showing us a little secret here. Almost giving it away, but not yet. There's more to see, there's more to understand, there's more to know about God. Verse 14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So God is condescending to the intercession of Moses. And God promises rest for Moses. But Moses wants rest for the people. He knew where he stood with God. When God sent his family from the garden, God said, well, if you're not going to be here, I'm not going to stay either. His presence left with them. And when we go back to the garden, he goes back with us. So God promises to go with Moses. And he promises to show Moses his glory. Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. So Moses didn't want an angel messenger. Moses didn't want an angel that was sent from his presence, a created being. Moses wanted Christ. He wanted the theophanic Christ. We can encourage one another, friends, and we should. And that's all good. But it's no substitute for the Holy Ghost. Every one of us needs him personally. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives personally. The angel of his presence in your life. Exodus 33:14. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15. And he said unto him, he's not done here. Seems like he got what he wanted, right? Not yet. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, Carry us, not up hence. He said, I will be with you. Moses didn't go out and say, okay, listen there, buddy. He's with me. I'm the man. I'm the man of the hour. He said, if your presence doesn't go with me, carry us, not up hence. Now, God hasn't said up to this point that he's going to go with the people. He said, I'll go with you, Moses. You talked me into it. But Moses wants his presence amongst the people also. Moses isn't just looking for a move of God, which is a wonderful thing, or a revival, that's a wonderful thing, but he's looking for the angel of his presence. I hope you're listening tonight. Moses had interceded, and Israel was forgiven as a result of the intercession. Moses stood in the gap. Now, of course, we know it's Christ. We know that it's Christ anointing him. We know that it's the Spirit of Christ that's being manifested. But nevertheless, it was through Moses. And Israel was forgiven as a result. But the elect of God want more than forgiveness. Amen? We want his presence. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be restored. I want the relationship between God and man to be restored. And I want his friendship. I don't want a God that I'm afraid of, that I know I'm going to have to face one day, and that I'm just, you know, trying to tread lightly around, and that I don't understand, that I'm fearful of. I don't want that. I want a friend. Amen. And he promised that he would be my friend. Amen. He promised that he'd be my comforter, my God. That he'd show me the way. And he's the way. His presence. Do you understand what I'm talking about tonight? His presence shows up. We're not just talking about an anointing. We're talking about his presence. And whenever we talk about his presence, we're talking about Pentecost. But we're not talking about Pentecost in the sense of restoration of gifts, and those things are wonderful, or shouting, or those things are nice, or running the aisles, those things are nice. But what we're talking about is his presence. You know, those times when you're not even expecting it, and you're in a grocery store, or you're in the car, or you're at work, or you're at school, or you're at home, and just all of a sudden his presence is there. And you just think, oh God, you know, forgive me of anything that I've done, and I just appreciate your presence, and Lord, just walk with me, and I just want to stay in your presence, and I don't want to come out. That's a whole lot more than a temporary blessing. That means more to us than anything. He doesn't have to leave you with anything. He doesn't have to give you anything. Just be with you. That's how it is with a husband and wife that are truly in love with one another. They value being together more than anything. They can give one another gifts, and they should, and that's a good thing, and express their love in different ways, but what they want is the presence.
Right.
Not presence, but presence. Well, that didn't work out. Not P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, and however that's spelled in Spanish. Good luck with that. I was having trouble with that word all day long. Every time I'd type it up, I'm not dyslexic when I read, but I'm dyslexic when I write. I don't understand, we all have peculiarities, but when I write, I'm ahead of myself. So when I write, I'll write letters that are ahead first, and then the other ones, it's some kind of and it's perfect. Because I do it the same way every time. And yet I was a champion speller, so it isn't that I don't know how to spell, it's just that my brain doesn't cooperate sometimes. I guess the Lord was just showing me, illustrating me, just dwell on this word presence. let people don't understand. They say, oh, you know, you cry too much. All you want is emotion. That's all you got is emotion. That's all you care about. If they knew the presence that's with me, they wouldn't make those statements. They wouldn't say things like that. I could never have a shouting meeting again the rest of my life and be all right. I mean, I appreciate those things. But it's His presence. I can't be without His presence. And friends, every one of us has to humble ourselves. Right? And unfortunately, some of us have to hit a lot deeper than others before we come to that place where we humble ourselves. People will go to church for years and years and play the part and actually think that they actually have the goods. But all of us, without His presence, I don't care who you are. I don't care who your parents are. I don't care your pedigree. I don't care how much effort. I don't care how good your intentions are. All of us will fall without His presence. None of us will be able to, and God will make sure of that. If we don't humble ourselves, we will be humbled. But when somebody amongst us gets humbled, far be it from you to look on them narrowly and say, well, you know, I guess you got what was coming. I could have told you. What if that was you? It was you at one time. Maybe not in deed, but in being humbled. Just be glad that He's a God of second chances. Just be glad that people are given an opportunity to find out whether they have the goods or not. And when they fall, give them room to get back up. That's what the Spirit of Christ in you will do. If we'll just let the Spirit of Christ have preeminence. Or we can be like Moses and get mad and throw things on the floor and have a little fit. Or we can let the Spirit of Christ intercede. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I... You know what? It still came through, didn't it? You don't want to blast your ears out, but... Do you realize what a privilege it is to be reading conversations that God had with His prophet? Supernatural conversations. And yet, to read it, it sounds like Moses is a normal guy. Well, he is. Just made a little different than you and I for God's purpose. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? I love how he's talking to God. Notice, he knows God, and he knows how far to push things, and he knows where he stands with God. But listen to what he's saying here. How are people going to know that I found grace in your sight? And that the people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? Is it your presence? What makes the difference between us and everybody else? That's what makes the difference. It's not our outfits. It's not our hairdos. It's not our tabernacle. It's not our musicians. It's not the Levites. It's you. What separates us from all the people of the world is that you are our God. And you are with us. And Moses is speaking this, and sounds like he's reasoning with God, but this is our intercessor. We're getting a foreshadow of what it's like when our intercessor is interceding between us and heaven. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Isn't that the evidence? So shall we be separated. We're a separated people. We're separated unto you. We're walking with you. What good is an Enoch walk if it's just Enoch? Right. Right. We're separated unto you. We're separated from the rest of the world. We're not just separated, but we're separated unto you. So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. So it's His presence that sets us apart from the foolish virgin group. The saved group. Don't look down on them. Don't despise them. They're saved. That's as far as they can go. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a tremendous thing. Eternal life. They'll be given white robes based on their works. But His presence is with you. You are His people. We have an advocate tonight that pleads on our behalf. We're not just forgiven, we've got an advocate. We have a go-between. We have an advocate tonight that says, Father, all that you've given me shall come. And I won't lose any. Just reading Jesus' prayer, John 17, I believe it is, that just before a service here tonight, He said, I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those that you've given me. And I've sent them into the world as you sent me in the world, but they're not of the world. And I'm praying for them. And I'm not going to lose one. Moses says, so shall we be separated. Okay, Lord, you said you'd be with me, but I want you to be with us. I don't want to be up here on a pedestal. And I don't want them to think I'm leading them. I want you to do it. Friends, I feel the same way here tonight. I want the same Holy Ghost to be in every one of you so that you know that we're all the same and we're listening to the same voice and it's the same God that's leading us all. It's just that He's chosen certain offices to minister through, but that doesn't make me better than you or more elect than you. Just means I'm a different part of the body. And any true minister wants the same thing. A minister that wants a kingdom, he's not a minister of God. He's a kingdom builder. And guess what? There are people that will build a kingdom for him because they want a king instead of God. But you want God. And I want God. We want His presence among us. And His presence sets us apart from everyone else. Not that we're trying to put anybody out. We're just recognizing a fact. I want everybody to have His presence. I'm not trying to put anybody out. We're trying to bring as many people in as we can. Amen? But we know that not everybody wants His presence. Not everybody wants the truth. You say, well, you're talking about His presence. Well, He's the truth. You don't want the truth, you don't want Him. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, He talked me into it. Your intercession worked tonight. Nice prayer meeting. I've heard your cries, Moses. Sisters, I've heard your cries for your children, for your wayward loved one, for your husband. I've heard your cries. You taught me into it. The Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also. You keep at it. You want me to do this? Okay. You want me to do that? Okay. You want me to do this? Okay. All right, I'll do this also. Aren't you glad tonight? I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. So God is now hearkening unto the voice of a man. To the words of a prophet. But it's the Spirit of Christ that's... This is all God being worked out here. I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know you by name. This man has a shepherd's heart. And he just couldn't let go. Until he interceded on behalf of the people. And friends, that's the way it is with every family. With every family. You say, okay, Lord, I'm thankful that you saved me, but I want your presence. And then you get his presence and you say, but I don't want you just for me. I want you for my family. It's not enough, Lord. I want what you gave me. All that you've given me shall come. I'm not going to lose any. That's Christ in you interceding on behalf of your loved ones. How else is he going to intercede except through you? He needs flesh to work through. And when you're agonizing and when you're calling out and when you're having those prayer meetings, you think it's you, but it's not. It's Christ in you. You know, we get so burdened. And then we want people to feel sorry for us for our burden. Why should I feel sorry for you? That's Christ interceding. And something's fixing to happen. And if you didn't have that burden, nothing would happen. But because of your burden. You say, but I'm not suffering. It's not you that's suffering. It's Christ in you. You're just feeling the feelings of his suffering. You're a partner. But let it run its course. Because when it runs its course, God says, okay, I heard. I'll do this thing also. Anything else, Brother Henry? Are you done? And one more thing, Lord. I got grandkids too, Lord. Did I remind you of that? Or maybe I got great grandkids. Did I tell you about Auntie whatever? So this man had a shepherd's heart. And so he couldn't let go until he interceded on behalf of the people. Showing the Spirit of Christ working through him. Under the blood of bulls and goats. Now you're born again of the blood of God. What should be taking... What do you think a Messiah means? A Messiah means the work of the Messiah is being continued. He says, the works that I do shall you do also and greater than these things or more because I go into my Father. He's finishing his work in another body. Now, if he was an intercessor in that body, won't he be an intercessor in this body? Who else is going to do it? Who's going to get on their knees and say, okay, Lord, maybe this person was proud and maybe this person was warned and maybe they walked into this willfully and maybe they stumbled and they fell, but Lord, help them. God, don't leave them there. Pick them up. Help them to get back up. Help them to believe. Who's spitting on my computer here? If his presence is with us, bring it on. We can face whatever comes our way. But if his presence isn't with us, I don't want to go on. I don't know the way. And I don't want to say like Moses, I don't want to say show me the way. I don't want to know the way. I want him to lead. I don't want him to tell me what the way is. I want him to go before me. And show me the way. So the Spirit of Christ always intercedes on behalf of the people. That's how you know it's the Spirit of Christ. Notice the part that was being played out by Moses was not judgment. It wasn't, Lord, send the fire down. But it was intercession. Don't get the idea that we're saying we should just overlook sin and, you know, just let anybody live however they want. That's not what we're talking about. But if there's something in you that doesn't want someone saved, there's something wrong with you. You need to find an altar somewhere. You haven't found grace in His sight yet. Because the Spirit of Christ always intercedes on behalf of the people. And God hears the voice of the intercessor and says, and this is how God partners, this is how you're saying on earth His will that is done in heaven. But in order for it to be done on earth, somebody has to agree. Somebody has to call out for the thing that God wants done. And not in some kind of mechanical way, but in faith, believing. Sometimes we got to talk things over with God. God, you said. God, you said. To encourage ourselves. How many could say, yeah, I need to encourage myself sometimes. Sometimes I get so far down that, you know, I don't know how I'll get back up. So I just got to encourage myself. Lord, you said. Lord, you said. Lord, you said. And before long, you start believing it again. Faith rises. Don't you love Him tonight? Amen. If His presence is with us, we can face anything. So the Lord comes back and says, you have found grace in my sight. And as He said in the New Testament, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. God is acting on the word of the intercessor. Matthew 17:5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. This is the same thing that was being lived out in Moses, now lived out in the tabernacle of God. Lived out in the first of the God race. And then He says to Moses, I know thee by name. Now friends, if He knows your name, He knows your character, He knows your honor, He knows your dignity, He knows your representation, and He calls your name. He's not calling you loser tonight. Well, okay, got a couple of that's right, and one or two hallelujahs. He's not calling you loser. That's not your name. If you were a loser, He wouldn't be talking to you. He's calling you overcomer. You say, but He made you that. We just forgot what our name was. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. This word name is Shem in the Hebrew, and it means reputation, fame, glory, memorial. I'm doing this for you, Moses. Now, if God would do this for Moses, a sinner, how much more would He do this for His only begotten Son that is born on the earth thousands of years later? And if He does this for His firstborn son of the new kingdom, how about for the other sons and daughters of God that come after Him, the continuation of the God race? Are you getting the picture? God says, okay, Moses, I'll give you rest. And I'll give them rest. And I'll go with you. And I'll go with them too. I won't send an angel, but I'll send the angel of my presence, the theophanic Christ. Moses isn't done. Can you get a load of this guy? I mean, what a prayer meeting. He sure is pushy here. Kind of demanding. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I think we're just starting to get a glimpse of what this really means in this last age, in this last hour. Spurgeon said, this is the greatest request of the Old Testament. Show me thy glory. What was it that Moses wanted to see? Oh, this is such a great paradox. Moses is wanting to see the theophanic Christ. But Christ is still, at this point in time, the mystery of God that has yet to be revealed. And Brother Andy, the irony of it is that he's wanting to see this thing that's anointing him. This theophanic presence. Friends, God condescended. God created a body for himself, a theophanic body that didn't exist. He created it. And then he poured attributes of himself in this, right? But he's still spirit God that you can't see, touch, feel. But in this condescension, this is something that you can come in contact with. Something that is yet to be revealed was calling to Moses. And that's why Moses was asking for this. You can't help it. Friends, if you want to know more of His presence, if you want more of His presence in your life, that's because there's more of His presence to be made known to you. Because you have a desire means that there's something out there to satisfy that desire. If you didn't have the desire, then you wouldn't get any more of His presence. It's a gift. Right. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed. Right. I don't feel sorry for you. Blessed. Right. But I'm agonizing. And you're going to get. Right. Moses was saying, show me the hidden mystery of Christ. The mystery of God. Show me thy glory. Remember, Jesus said in John 17, he said, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was formed. The theophanic Christ. Show me thy glory. In other words, show me your person. Now, I don't know how to communicate to people in our message that when I say Pentecost, that's what I mean. Show me your person. Show me you. Not an anointing, not a feeling, you. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the revelation of Him to you. It's not an... There is an anointing that comes with it, but that's not it. You can be anointed and still not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's Him making Himself known to you. And once He's made Himself known to you, you can never be not known. You can't forget. And you'll never say, well, that was good, that was enough. You want more. Show me your glory. Show me your glorified condition, Lord Jesus. He says, well, you just got to wait a little bit till you receive your glorification. Show me your person. So what had condescended and had spoken to Moses had not revealed to Moses yet what is revealed to you and I today. Moses wanted to see what you are seeing tonight. You can look upon him and live. You can look upon him through the shed blood. You can look upon him and behold him face to face. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, amen, ever to rejoice. Amen. Oh, I want to see him.
Amen.
The thing is, we want to see him tonight. I don't want to just see him over there. I want to see him here. I want to see the glory of his person in my life. So that presence was being foreshadowed through Moses, the intercessor. That wasn't Moses. Although it was foreshadowed through Moses. But that mystery would remain hidden until God became flesh. God dwelt among us. God lived for us. God died for us. Rose again. Then sent that glory among us. Christ, the mystery of God, revealed. And now the bride is the mystery of Christ, revealed. Because not all that was in Christ was revealed 2,000 years ago. The masculine part was, but the feminine part is being revealed. Eve was the mystery of Adam, revealed. She was just as much Adam as Adam was. But she wasn't all of Adam. And Adam wasn't all of Adam either. that sounds flat, doesn't it? Let's make it flatter. Christ isn't all Christ without his bride. She's a part of him. He's not complete without her. So people run off with the Perugia doctrine, and you know there's truth in every doctrine, but they run off with it and they get it out of balance. Because they say we are all of God, but we're not. Because I'm not the intercessor. I have an intercessor. So how could I be my own intercessor? There's a masculine part and a feminine part. What are we going to see on the throne during the millennium? Just going to see one? Come on, it's not a trick question. There'll be a bride and a bridegroom. And they are one. But you take away one part and they're not one. Right? Got to keep this balanced. Got to keep it right. There's a part of me that's missing. And it's him. But it isn't missing because he's with me. Amen. Even in me. Amen. Right? Amen. So I'm complete tonight. We say, I want to see him. I do see him. I want to physically see him one day. But right now, I see him. And if I didn't, I wouldn't want to go on. Religion isn't enough. Religion doesn't satisfy. It won't satisfy that holy thirst that's down on the inside of you. And when you know him, then he turns around and he says, and I say, your name is Peter. He tells you, I know your name too. What he does is he reveals to you who you really are. Because you didn't know. You had amnesia. You got a bump on the head when you came out of your mother's womb. You didn't know that, right? That explains that strange little dent you got. Brother Branham calls it spiritual amnesia. It's not that you could remember it, but you were once in him. And what was in him has now been made flesh. Let me put it to you this way tonight, and I'm closing. You are literally in Him. Not mystically, not sort of like, not type or shadow. Literally. There's a part of you that's you that died in Him. Otherwise, how could you come out of His side? There's a part of you that was in Him. All that was in God was poured into Christ. All that's in Christ is poured into the church. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, and I'm in you, and you in me. We all came from somewhere, didn't we? We can't ascend unless we first descend. Right? But He knows your name tonight. And your name is not dummy. Your name is not loser. Your name is not ugly. Come on, friends. Your name isn't mean. Your name isn't troublemaker. Although you might act like it sometimes. That's not who you really are. But He has to tell you that. Right? We can tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you. But He's got to tell you. He's got to bear witness to that. His Spirit has to bear witness with your spirit that you are the sons and daughters of God. Not that you're going to be. You are. And when you came to the altar, you didn't become a son or daughter of God, but you came to the recognition that you are a son or daughter of God. Friends, it'll make such a difference in your walk knowing who you are. Right? We'll still make mistakes. We'll still have to say, I'm sorry. But knowing who you are makes you not want to make mistakes. It makes you, when you recognize you're a child of the King, you want to act like a King's child. You want to act like you're from another kingdom because you are. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. The body work. Can you see it? See how Christ was being manifested in a body? Attributes, characteristics, showing us what would be in the fullness, because he was the fulfillment of all of that when He became flesh. So we're seeing Him in part here, right? But we have to be able to separate divinity and humanity, don't we? Musicians, come please. We have to be able to make that separation. Just like we have to be able to make that separation here tonight. We got to be able to look at one another and say, you know what, there's deity right there. God left heaven, took off His royal robes, and condescended, and took on the form of man because of what's in this man tonight. Amen. What's in this sister tonight? Amen. What's in this little brother here tonight? Who'll be a big brother one day. Amen. And yet, duh, we see flesh, right? Right, friends? Why is it that we have so much trouble with other people's flesh when we ought to have trouble with our own flesh? And then when we realize what a piece of work this is, how could we look at some other flesh and think, well, that flesh is, that, wow. It's a distraction. Get this thing straightened out, then go to work on somebody else. Thing is, you'll never get this straightened out, so I can say that and not worry about you ever going to work on somebody else. Because you're going to have to keep yourself under yourself until the day that you're changed. Because you're not changed. You realize that, right? This isn't the millennium. You didn't know that? Yeah. You're not perfect. Oh, you didn't know that either. Oh, okay. Well, sorry to be the one to tell you. This life is our humiliation. Right? We're gonna suffer. I was sent a note here tonight. Now, I didn't know him, but maybe some of you do. But Brother Jason Watkins, his brother, younger brother, died. Forget what his name was. I didn't know who he was. Excuse me for just a moment. Nathan. Anybody know Nathan? So Mike Price said he was about his age, so Mike's about 50, right? He's exactly 50. It's like birthday's like 5 days after mine, so. Huh? 51, see? Man, senior moment. That was last year I was thinking about. Another year came and went. That's right, 51. Well, Mike said that he had some issues in the last part of his life, had some mental issues, and I was telling him, you know, how sad that is, and how when a family member has mental issues, it's not just the family member that suffers, it's everybody that suffers, and it's hard on everybody. And he says, yeah, and then he kind of got into social media and kind of, you know, it was kind of a bad deal for a while. And I said, yeah, you know, that's the problem with social media is that it gives everybody a voice, especially devils. Right? Devils are just looking for an avenue to speak. And it's shameful how people will so quickly give themselves over to a demon. Right? That's why we got to be on guard. That's why I try so hard to never discuss anything that's controversial. It's not, you're not being a compromiser by doing that. It's just that isn't the place for it. It's easy to say things to people you don't see. And people will act ways towards people on social media that they wouldn't act in person. Right? And you're not going to change anybody's mind. Right? Save your speech. Anyway, I told him, you know, we can really, we can certainly enter into the sufferings of these people that have had family members with mental problems, especially in this age, because people are losing their mind left and right. It's mental deficiency, it's nutrition, it's genes, it's demonic oppression, all kinds of things. But this is the worst age that there is for losing your mind. And so we can certainly enter in, and we know how people feel, and how they suffer, and we can enter into the sufferings of others. But none of us are going to get out of here without suffering. Just face it. We're promised that we will suffer. We're promised that. And as much as we don't want it, it brings Christ on the scene. It's through Christ that we learn obedience. Amen. Through suffering. Amen? Amen? By allowing Christ to have preeminence. Yes. And it seems as, you know, I don't claim to understand it tonight. I can't explain to you how it is that when I'm at my weakest, God is at His greatest in my life. Hallelujah. But that's how it is. Amen. When I get to the place where I just say, Lord, I can't do it, and I need you. I don't know how I'm going to get by. When I'm pressed from every side. When people turn against you. When you're falsely accused. When all these different things happen. This is not sympathy tonight. I'm not. It's not the point. Because that'll happen to you. It has to. If they called him Beelzebub, what will they call you? And he certainly wasn't Beelzebub. It's always the devil calling people himself. And we learned in kindergarten to say, I'm the rubber, you're the glue. Whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. That's what we ought to say to the devil. Right? I'm sorry, but sometimes out of the mouth of babes, you know. The devil is always accusing you of being him. But you need to look at him and say, no, devil, I have no part in you. You have no part in me. And guess what? You wouldn't want me in hell because I wouldn't get along. I'd be a troublemaker. Right? Hell wasn't created for you. It was created for him and his angels. Heaven was created for you. Amen. Aren't you thankful that he's lifting our amnesia? Let's bow our heads. Father, as I stand here tonight just trembling, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I don't know that anything that I need to ask forgiveness for, but Lord, just in case, I don't want to take a chance. Lord, if there's anything that I haven't repented of, I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Father, I just want to be humble before you. I want to be humble before your people. I want your presence. I appreciate your blessings. I appreciate all you do. Appreciate all that you've given us. I appreciate all that you trust us with to oversee, to see that your work progresses because it's your work. But Lord, I'd gladly give all of it up just for one moment in your presence to walk with you, Lord. Lord, we know that there's keys to everything. We know that we can never arrogantly come into your presence. We know that we can grieve you. We know that because of things in our lives that we're struggling with, that we won't allow you to be a part of, that we wall ourselves in. Maybe we don't tell anybody. We think it's best that way. But then we hold it back from you too. We build walls around ourselves. And Lord, what we don't realize is that wall becomes a prison. And that prison keeps us out of your divine presence. Oh, your anointing is with us. And we know you hear our prayers. And your blessings are with us. And we know that we're your children. That's not in question here tonight. But what about your presence? What about your glory? What about you making yourself known to us in a greater way, and calling us by name, telling us who we really are? Lord, and as you call us by name, it frees us to walk in who you've called us to be. And Lord, the wonderful thing about that is it breaks on us, is that as we begin to realize who you made us to be, we don't have to try to be that. We just surrender to who we really are in you. But you reveal it to us, each and every one. You call us by name. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone under the sound of our voice in this building tonight that hasn't heard you call them by name, Lord, may they surrender tonight. Father, if there's anyone that has been fighting, that not fighting you, but just maybe trying to do things themselves or trying to hold on themselves, may they just let go tonight, Lord. Say, Lord, I need you. If you're not with me, I don't want to go any further. You said you'd be with us, even in us. Lord, if you're not in them, may they surrender tonight and say, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Father, for I know that you make all the difference. Lord, with you in us, with your presence, we're confident that we can do all things that you lead us to do. But if you're not with us, Lord, we're not sure of anything. And that's not how we want to be. That's not how we want to walk. We don't want to presume. We don't want to press forward without marching orders. But we want the glory of your presence to be amongst us. We want the attributes of the Messiah to be lived out in us as you step into a body. We're called to be Messiahs, which is really nothing more than surrendering to you and allowing your spirit to intercede. You called us, you said that you made us priests and kings unto God. So you've made us intercessors. You've given us a part in this work, in finishing this work. And Lord, I know of no greater thing that we can do for another than to intercede on their behalf. Help us, Lord. Let it start here in the body, Lord. Let it start here where we can enter in and, Father, not judge by the outward appearance, not judge by partial truths, not judge by what we think we might know, not judge by deeds of the flesh, reactions of the flesh. Flesh will disappoint us. Our own flesh disappoints us. But Lord, let us enter into that place. Lord, where we can be part of the solution and not calling down judgment, but Lord, calling down for mercy, grace, and deliverance, and freedom, and healing. Lord, if our brothers and sisters can be set free, where they can be, Lord, we're not here to throw anybody into the prison house or put them on death row. Sin put us there. But Lord, you made a way. You opened the prison doors and you've set the captive free. Now, Lord, may we proclaim that great, herald that great message that we've been set free and that others can be free as well. Lord, put a soul in our hearts. Father, as we've got names at different of members of the body, and Lord, we've been pulling from those names and praying for different ones. And Lord, it's a wonderful thing, and it may seem kind of mechanical to some, but Lord, it's a wonderful thing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd move on our hearts. That we don't necessarily got to pull a piece of paper out of a jar, but just put somebody on our heart, Lord, that we can intercede on their behalf. And Lord, walk in their shoes. And Lord, to see as you see, and to intercede for you to give them what they need and not what others might think they deserve, but what they truly need. And Lord, there's not a one of us here tonight that doesn't need more of you. We all want more of you and we all need more of you. And there's more to be had. We know that. We want to see you more and more. But Lord, may we think not on our own needs, but may we think on the needs of others. Grant it, O God. The greatest gift that you've given us is that gift to be able to intercede on behalf of others. Lord, it isn't for us. It's not for us to intercede for ourselves. You're our portion. But Lord, may we intercede for a lost and dying world. But most of all, Lord, let it start in the house of the Lord, interceding for our brothers and sisters. Grant it, O God. Father, we love you and we thank you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've laid these things out in patterns, in shadows in the Old Testament. And Lord, it's just showing what would be manifested later on in living flesh. Thank you, Lord. Bless each and every one now, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you love him? Amen. I have a Father. Amen. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me. I believe him. He'll never leave me. No matter where I go, he knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me. I call. I have a maker. I have a